I do want to thank you for being here. It was several from other places that came, and some of my family I don't get to see at worship very often. I've got my grandkid tie here, so I've got all the grandkids represented on my tie. My mechanic is here, Jose. Nice to have you with us today, Jose. He'd been promising me he'd come. I told him we were on San Salvador time, and that our worship started at 9:30. Some of you get that. You've been in South America. You are about 45 minutes behind, as is India and some other places I know. As we were singing this morning, I was thinking about 12 hours ago in India. People gathered just like we gathered this morning, a little different. The building is different. Sometimes a thatched roof was over their head. They were all sitting on the floor. The children were on the front of the auditorium, if you call it that. The girls were sitting on this side. The boys were sitting on this side, the children in the front. The men were sitting behind them, some in chairs, some on the floor. Women were sitting on this side, some in chairs, most on the floor. And when I was there, they were very attentive, even though they had no idea what I was talking about, because I had a translator. And the translators, I hope, were pretty good. They seemed to be interested. He may not have been telling the people the same thing I was saying, but it was exciting to be there. And one of my messages to them, because I talked to Vinay about what those people needed to hear, and they said, they need to be encouraged, because in the last 3 years, so much tragedy has come about in our country. We've had terrible floods that killed many people, wiped out whole towns in some way. We don't hear a lot about that. A cyclone, as we know, because Vinay was preaching one Sunday morning, and a cyclone came through and took the top off the building while he was speaking. Now, I visited that church building. They've had a lot of that kind of problem. And they've also had a lot of governmental problems. The government is now very intent on getting rid of Christianity in their country. The man that's the prime minister is a Hindu, and he's pledged to make this truly a Hindu country by 2020. He wants Christianity gone. He wants Muslims gone. He wants everything except Hindu gone. But I can tell you that if I read the people that I met, they will not get rid of Christianity unless they get rid of those people, because they are very, very sold on what Christ has meant to them and what Christ can do for them. I always read a passage from Romans chapter 1 to start my lessons. And I'm not going to read that today, but I just want to tell you that in Romans chapter 1, Paul greets the Romans, who he's never seen before, and he says, I thank my God, I pray to God for you, for all the good things I've heard about you. And when we meet together, it's going to be to encourage one another. It's not going to be where I come in and encourage you, but you're going to encourage me. And every time I stood in front of a group of people there, I was encouraged. Because sometimes we changed our plans, and every time we changed our plans and we would meet in a church building somewhere, it was full of people. I don't know where they came from. They didn't just live right around the, you know, church building. They had to walk, some of them, quite a ways to get there. So they were an encouragement to me. And I also told them that many of them, their pictures were seen in America. Vinay sends out a newsletter every month that he has pictures of all the places where he goes. And their picture, and they couldn't believe it. My picture's seen in America? You know, it's almost like America is some kind of a heaven on earth. And in many ways, it is to them. and they have a lot of respect for Americans. And so I'm glad to present this to you today. I'm going to try to do this as quickly as I can. When I come to a point when everybody falls out of the chairs, I'm going to stop. I've got so many slides, I know I will not get through all of them. So I'm going to just move over here, and I hope I'm not in anybody's way. This was quite an extensive trip. I didn't know how extensive it was going to be until I started it. Then we got to Atlanta, and there were no flights because we were on standby. I've had people ask me, why did you go on standby? Well, I paid the other guy's way, and it was about 40% of the normal cost. So both of us could fly for the same amount as one if there was an airplane available. And that was the problem sometimes. So we had to take a few bypasses here and there. This is most of the places that we visited, starting in Atlanta and so forth. You'll notice one place, Siem Reap, is where I met up with Brandon and talked him into coming back to America. And so, this is called India Bodia, which is, well, maybe you can figure it out. He lived in Cambodia, so I visited him in Cambodia. So this is the trip, India Bodia. I thought it was interesting that in just about every place we went in Asia, this is in Hong Kong, there was Christmas stuff. You know, it was right after Christmas when we went. And this was on a main street by the train station. This is some other sites. And boy, that picture didn't turn out too good. Now, the guy looks good. The boat looks a little weird, but... And this is Miles Cotham, who sends his greetings to you. He's in Florida today. He gets around. And I was really happy to have Miles with me. He's been preaching for 50 years. And we did 5 preacher workshops. And he had some wonderful lessons that he gave to encourage preachers. And this is our friend Brandon. We met up with him in Siem Reap. He found a very nice place for us to stay. And there he was speaking some wisdom. He's saying, why did y'all come over here? And there we are at the hotel. This was a real nice little restaurant outside of the hotel. And Stevie will appreciate this. I was riding one of those little toot-toot things. And I think he was going around a curve at about 75 miles an hour with traffic coming every direction. And there we are in one of those as well. Couldn't hardly both of us get in it, but Brandon sat up with the driver up in the front. We visited a village there, which was kind of like a cultural center, and it was a very interesting place. Had a lot of their, each part of the exhibit had dances and shows and demonstrations and so forth about the different parts of the culture there. And we saw some men or women or whatever dressed like dragons, and it was very interesting. Now this right here was, I promised Brandon I wouldn't show this if he came back to America. But he and Miles went out on the town on New Year's, and that's what he looked like when he came back. I don't know, Brandon. It was... This was our trip. We came from Kuala Lumpur to Chennai, which is the capital of the state right below where we spent most of our time. We had some... we flew to... Can y'all see the name there? That's Hyderabad, which is, since I was there before... And Andhra Pradesh, which is the state where Vinay lives, and it used to go all the way up into where Telangana, that's not how you say it, but anyway, That all used to be one state. Now they've divided it up. Hyderabad, it was the capital and still is the capital, but it's the capital of Telangana or whatever it is. So we went there. We spoke a couple of times on Sunday. Actually, we spoke, two places. And then we got in a car, a big old car. Stevie, you remember the SUVs we were in? This was a shortened version of the SUV, and we had the same amount of people in it. So I don't know. It was not very good. And on the way down, Miles, who travels around the world and been in all kinds of vehicles to travel in, got sick. And so we had to give him the front seat the rest of the way through the trip because we were afraid he might not make it. And we came down to Kadapa, and we had several events that took place there, including a preacher workshop. Then we went to Naidupet, where was Vinay's hometown, and we spoke there and had some visits there. And then we came down to Tirupati, which is an airport, and we flew up to that place. Can y'all see it? Starts with a V. Never could say it, but it's a big city on the coast. Several million people live there. And we went out from there and visited up in the mountains up north of there, came down the coast, and spent quite a bit of time in that area, which Stevie and I didn't get that far up before. And then we came down to Gudar and spent some time in that area. And then we went down to Naidupet and then back up to the new capital, Visuwada. Visuwada was chosen to be the capital of the new state because it was centrally located, not because of what it is. It's not a very wonderful place for a capital, and so they've got bulldozers in there tearing down most of the housing, if you call it housing. I'll show you some pictures in a little while. making room for all the new government buildings, and they're tearing down the church building as well, and they're rebuilding in another part of town. But it's going to be a completely rebuilt town by the time I get back over there. And this is some of the things we did while we were on the trip. Spoke at 4 Sunday worship services, spoke at 5 preacher workshops, held 4 gospel meetings, spoke at 11 church meetings, spoke at the annual Bible lectureship, baptized 5 souls, and 4 were baptized in one of the churches right after we left. We helped dedicate 7 new or rebuilt church buildings, visited 11 churches that had previously received help from IDES. You know that IDES has sent quite a bit of money to help relief work in the north in particular. Visited 2 schools that are being operated by Christians, 1 trip by air, 4 overnight trains trips, very interesting trips, 14 car trips, visited 9 of the 9 districts. We visited 3 states. No wonder I was tired when we got back. We're okay, I think. This is the kind of treatment we get when we went anywhere just about. We get those flower thingers. And this time, we got more than one in many places. There's several people that wanted to honor us. This is one of the preachers' meetings. They always had a banner up on the wall, had our name on it, usually misspelled. This is some of the preachers that were there. The first preacher meeting we had, I guess there were about 60 people, 60 preachers there. And we tried to encourage them to keep on preaching. We went to a place, went to a little village that, it was just a teeny little village, and they had nothing. It was just so primitive. And we were talking and found out that that's where Vinay was from. Just a little, you'd never think anybody like Vinay that all the influence he's had in India would come out of a little old place like that. They didn't even have a school. He had to ride a bike to the highway and catch a bus or something to school. And we encourage the teachers to, you never know who you're going to be preaching to in these little towns, in these little villages. And you go in there and it looks like you're not preaching hardly to anybody, and I don't know what's going on there, okay? But you never know where somebody with great influence for Christ is going to come from. This was one of the lectureships. The first one was there. They had the first one the first time we were there. And this is Vinay speaking to the group. There were over 250 people there for this. Most of them were preachers. They were from all over the areas where we visited. They rented a hall. That was not a church building. They rented one of the local auditorium to have that. This is a group of kids that came from the school that I'll show you some a little bit later. And they sang some songs for the group. And there's another group of singers from another place, another congregation, that sang some songs for the congregation. And that's some of them there. It was so interesting that during the service there, it was a little warm. Well, it was hot, and of course, all the electricity went off right before we got there. So they had no fans, they had no electricity, they had no microphones, didn't have anything, and it was dark in there. But anyway, these kids were the purveyors of water, and it was their job to go through the congregation with cups of water and give to the people that were there. And they were really great. And there's another preacher from the area that was at the lectureship. Now you can see Miles has two or three of these flower thingers on, and I do too. This is another workshop, another preacher workshop. Quite a large group of men were there, as you can see. And this was just out in the, just on the side of the road. A pitch, there wasn't even a tent. I don't know where they get this stuff from they put up. It looks kind of like a tent, but it's not a tent. They put plastic or something on the floor, maybe rice sacks, or something like that. Cut them up, spread them on the floor. And these men were, there was probably over 100 men there. And you can see how enthralled they were of the preaching that was going on. That's because they could not hear. They didn't understand anything I was saying. I guess by throwing my arms up, that must have really got to them. And there's another picture of that same group. We had 5 meetings like this in various parts of India, the places that I showed you on the map earlier. This is outside after the, it was during a break. One of the worst things about going to India this time was we went to so many places, and it was like we rushed in, we did our thing, we got to shake a few hands, and then we left. And they usually gave us a little something to eat or look at. And, you know, because that's one of their fellowship things, is trying to eat together. This is a very interesting place to preach. There was 2 rooms. There was a room here and a room there. There was about 20 people in each room, and I didn't know where to stand. So I tried to stand in that doorway and preach both ways at the same time. And you see the stack of booklets over here in this little chair? Randolph Dunn, most of you know Randolph, had these booklets printed in Telugu, the language, to like a correspondence courses to go out into these villages and so forth and study the Bible with the members of the villages. And so this is one of the ways that they are distributing these booklets. And they were just grabbing, they wanted those so badly to get the booklets. He's printed up over 20,000 of those in the last few months. And, by the way, he's about to start a TV program in Hyderabad, 30 minutes per week TV program. And as soon as they get everything arranged for that, he'll be starting that. In his spare time, he'll be doing a 30-minute TV program. Again, this is some of the preachers in that little place we were just at. There's a group of them outside. Wonderful, wonderful men. They were so happy to see somebody to come and to get encouragement. Now, this was a really interesting little trip. We started out, we were on a paved road for a while, and then we turned, and it turned, and we were on something that wasn't a paved road, as you can see. And we got so far down this little, that that's as far as the car would go. The guy said, I'm not taking my vehicle, this is a rented car, I'm not taking it any further than this. So somebody in the village close by had one of these little three-wheelers, and he came up and offered to take us down to the next spot, which is where there was a person when we got there, said they wanted to be baptized. And so we said, is the water warm in the baptistry today? Well, here, let's see. There's the baptistry. Not exactly warm. It was warm, all right. Yeah, it was warm. But there might have been a few other things in there besides fish. I don't know. But I told Miles, since he was the experienced and he had all the authority of an apostle, that he needed to do the baptizing, and I'd take the pictures. So Miles volunteered to do the baptizing and took the young man down into the water and baptized him, and he was so happy. His name was Haven, a very bright young man, and he had a motorbike, and he was going to college. He was studying computer science. And there he is, and Miles is saying, thank goodness I got out of this water. There he is in full clothing. This was incredible. I cannot tell you this adequately. When we came down that little path down to the creek, it was like a valley. It came down like this, and we came down on this side, pretty rough. And then straight up on the other, going up the other way, was a little path that went up. You really couldn't tell whether anything over there or not. And they said, we're going to the village. Y'all going to preach at this village up here. So it was almost straight up. Our feet were wet because we had to go across the creek. And it was pretty interesting that the gospel had gotten that far out into the nowhere. It was just incredible. When we got there, this is the building. Their building had been damaged by the cyclone as it came through. And all the people were sitting in this auditorium, I guess you call, place of meeting. And they were just really happy for us to be there. They looked like this. They were the kids had these colorful clothing on, and they were excited to be there. They sang for us. And I was just thinking, how in the world did these people ever learn about Christ up here in this wilderness? There's nothing up here. They were sitting on top of a hill out in the middle of nowhere. And yet, Christ has made an impact on this town, and the contributions of different people have gone even into the remotest regions of India. This is the entrance to the beach in the Sea of Bengal. We had preached in a place, and two ladies said they wanted to be baptized, and we couldn't find a creek. And they said, there's an ocean out there. Why don't we go baptize them out there in the ocean? So once again, I talked Miles into going out and baptizing these folks in the ocean, while I stood back and took pictures. And he did. There was two ladies, and they were so happy to be baptized into Christ. And the Sea of Bengal is a little bit less than Daytona Beach. You know, I mean, it's not really comparable. There's another place we went that was by a irrigation ditch. You'll see the irrigation ditch in just a few minutes. This preacher and his family are there. And we preached in this little lean-to, as you can see it. And this preacher's mom and dad had never become Christians. He had been raised up in some other religion, and his parents had never been baptized. And so after he'd been trying to get them to become Christians, they finally, on that day, wanted to be baptized. And so Miles really tried to talk me into this one, because that irrigation ditch looked like it might have been used for other purposes, which I will not describe, since there was animals all in the irrigation ditch. And so he went in, and he said that the bottom was a little soggy, and he dropped down a little bit and almost went over his head when he got in, and the bottom was a little soft. Probably just clay. And there was his wife, and they were so happy to become members of the church there. And they even had a little banner for us at that place. Now, one of the things that we did also was dedicated buildings that had been rebuilt. This one was in Kadapa, and the building had been completely destroyed. And so they had decided to relocate. And they took us out to this place. You can see what it looks like out there. This is a housing project. Now, as far as you can see, in every direction, it looks like that right there. And this is a housing project. This is where they're planning for future growth of the town, which we never did see. So I don't know. But anyway, they're going to build a building out there. And many other members came. And we laid the foundation for a new church building there. There I am. You know, that building's going to stand a long time, since the cornerstone was laid by sin. I don't know. Just and many of these, almost every one of these, they had a little special ceremony, kind of a service, like including cutting the ribbon with scissors that would not cut. So sometimes we had to rip the ribbon to get it to cut. But anyway, some of the buildings on the inside were very decorative. Most of them were very decorative. Had pictures on the wall. Many of them had been denominational churches that either the preacher had left or had been converted, or something had happened. And these were denominational buildings, and they had a lot of attractive pictures on the wall and so forth. And both of us spoke at just about every place we went. And we tried to encourage them and tell them that they were a part of a great family that started when they were baptized. And I talked quite a bit about the meaning of baptism and how important they became when they became a Christian. In India, the caste system, which most of you probably heard of, is alive and well. You're born into a caste. You're either born in a low class or middle class or next to middle class or high class, and you can't get out of that. Once you're born into it, your whole family is always, you can't marry outside the caste. You're just stuck. And so they are the dregs, most of them that we met, of society. They had no benefits. They had nobody cared about. They were the castaway people. And so our message to them was, when you become a Christian, you're somebody. You're just equal with everybody else. You are a part of the body of Christ. And everybody's the same. Nobody's ahead of you. Nobody's under you. You're equal. And that was a great message for them. Again, I'll just go through, and this was this church building had been destroyed. One of the members here was a builder and an architect. And so when they rebuilt the building, they really built a nice facility here. These are the people that go to church there. This was the ribbon cutting. This was another place. Obviously, not quite finished yet. This is the preacher and his family. I don't know exactly where that is, but they thought it was the funniest thing. And after I preached that morning, or whenever, the kids were all sitting down here in the front, and I just got up and sat down right in the middle of them. Well, I don't know. They never thought anybody, an adult from America, would come sit down in the middle of a bunch of kids and start showing them the special handshake and putting my arms around them and that kind of stuff. I liked it. And there is David DeSin and Miles Cottom and a team leader, Brother Lazarus. Moses or Vinay has picked out in these relief missions that he's done over there. He's picked out 12 team leaders in each section of the place where you saw on the map. And each one is responsible to deliver and distribute the funds and the things that are distributed, whether it might be food or clothing or whatever. I can tell you right now, these are great men. They stayed with us when we were in their area. They went everywhere we went. They take care of my backpack. They helped us as we... They thought I was old. I don't know. They helped me up and down the stairs and helped me everything. You should have seen them trying to get us up and down those hills to baptize that guy. So these men have done a tremendous job. There's another place. It's up on the third floor. Now, some of you may have read my email. This is one of the places where I said the building was packed. They were on the third floor, and I said, you need to expand. And I got to thinking about, they're on the third floor. They need to expand. I don't think that'll work out too well. You know, you're out in the build a expansion on thin air. But anyway, that's the play. That's the inside of that building. Very nice inside. This was another place that this preacher here, the building, of course, has been destroyed, as you can see. The preacher here was baptized a few months ago. His father is a big shot in some religion in New Delhi. When he became a Christian, and the guy was rich, this guy was living in his house. His family was living in this house, and his father says, "You're out. You can't stay here anymore." But he is more determined than ever to preach the gospel. This again was a kind of inspiring for me. I know it's inspiring for you. One of these ladies, you know, like I said, they always fix something to eat for you right after you speak. This is the first thing that I found that I really liked in India to eat. She had it there on the table. And I have a few more pictures where she fed it to me, and you know, we had a great relationship. I was so happy to get something that I really enjoyed eating. Everywhere we went, there was beautiful, beautiful children. And they were always seemed to be right in the front, eager to help, eager to be a part of what was going on. Very well behaved. This is one of the water wells, and Brandon and Sean are working with Healing Hands, and I found many, many water wells that Healing Hands had dug, had put in place. This particular water well was in the town, and I mentioned to you earlier where Vinay was from. It's a little village, but there's many of those little villages all around. This, during a terrible famine, maybe it was last year, this well was the only well in all that valley that kept water coming to the people. And they were so excited to see us, and were thanking us so much for providing the water well. I love that picture. This guy was so happy to see us and thank us for providing the water in that well. This is the preacher and his daughters, and they sang a little song for us. And there we are again. One of the villages that we visited was up in the mountains, up in the hills. And the people, it's cold up there at night. And when I say cold, you know, I don't mean like cold, like we know cold. But it got down probably to 60. I don't know. But they were in bad need of blankets. And so we delivered blankets to the people. And they were so excited to get the blankets. And I'll tell you, I don't believe I've ever seen things distributed as in an organized a fashion as Vinay. He had it organized to a T. And this distribution was, then people just didn't come run up and try to grab a blanket. He had their names, he had everything. They knew exactly what was going on here. And these people that are raising their hands, he asked the question, how many of you have been helped by the relief from America and from the American churches? And all those people that were there raised their hands. They were so happy and thankful to be helped. There's some rice that we handed out to this congregation. There's these widows where we gave them some clothes. And I love that picture. Isn't that great? Little Star EM School. We visited this school. It was in a slum area. But the kids, they were just... they had a little play they did. And he was Moses. So he had a mustache. And his buddy was Aaron. So they dressed up and they did... I did several skits for us and sang. It's not a Christian school. It's run by Christians. But they have Muslims, they have Hindu, and even some of the teachers are Hindu. But they study the Bible. I tried my best to teach them the wise man built his house upon a rock. They thought I was nuts, you know, doing all the little rain comes tumbling down and all that stuff. But they did enjoy it, and they tried to do it the best they could. They probably did it better than I did. There's Moses. Had those tablets there. They put on quite a show for us, and they were just... I teared up every time I think about them. That school needs some support. They're trying to help these kids. They come in there. They don't have enough food to eat. They're from many, many orphans there. This is another school at another place. And we visited that. It's in the church building. They did the same thing. They gave us a little dance. They did a little one of their cultural dances for us. And then I tried to teach them, what is that song? His banner over us is love. Oh, me. Well, anyway. And then we helped them distribute food to these kids. It was quite a great experience. As I mentioned to you before, the message of reconciliation is the name of the little booklet that he's distributing all over that part of India to those that speak Telugu. And we had a chance to hand out certificates. He makes a big deal out of those who complete these lessons. There's about, Randolph can tell you. It's a series of lessons that they take. They fill them out, send them back. Somebody grades them, or either somebody comes in and meets them. And so they printed up these certificates, and he told me I had to put my name on it. So I never did that before in a foreign country. This lady right here was the first one that has completed the entire course. And there were several others that I was able to give some certificates of completion. This is his office in Naidupet. And he was telling me all the book work that he does. He's got these little things he sends out to remind them to send their booklets back. And he keeps all the grades in that little book. And there was some more. They were distributing the message of reconciliation. There's bundles of those booklets. And if you ever see Randolph, he's usually here on Sunday nights. If you just thank him for all he does for not just in India, but he has really given a lot of money and a lot of time. And this booklet that he has put out has just helped reach many, many, many people and has a great future in that. This is the capital, the new capital city. And this is the area where the church building was. That is pretty much what's left of the church building. They're tearing everything down. This is another shot. This is going to be the capital city. I couldn't find any other downtown. This is the downtown as far as I know. I kept looking for big buildings and stuff. And they built a new residence area out on the other side of town. That was it. And they built a couple of little rooms for the church to stay. There's another interesting fellow. This church, and I got to tell this before I quit. About a day before we were supposed to take an airplane and go up to the north, Vinay was not, he just wore out. He said, I just don't think I can go, and we might have trouble up there. He'd had some trouble with the authorities there when he went up the last time. And so he changed our plan. We weren't going to go. And so we went to this church, and it was beside a river. There was a river right beside where the church meets. They have a church building. They were all meeting out on the street because they couldn't get all of them in the church building. And it reminded me of a Bible story where Paul was on a I think it was the second missionary journey, and he starts to go into Bithynia. Y'all remember that story? And it says the Holy Spirit stopped him and sent him to Troas. And a couple of towns later, he winds up in, remember what town it was? I went blank. I can't remember. Lydia's town. What town was that? Lydia. Come on, Brandon. You know. Where was Lydia? Philippi. Well, I thought of that. I said, these people, Lydia was meeting beside the river, having church on the riverside. Paul got to visit this church because the Holy Spirit stopped him from going where he was wanting to go. Sounded like what happened to us. Something stopped us. I said, maybe the Lord just knocked your motorbike over and broke your arm, Finney, so he wouldn't want you to go up into this other country. Well, we had a great visit there, and they were happy to know that now they were Philippi, the church of Philippi, because they were on the river. And we had a great time with the church there. This little boy, we stopped at a church, and he's a denominational preacher who's been studying with Vinay, and Vinay wanted to go by and encourage him. It was his son's birthday. And for those of you who don't know, this is Sunitha giving Vinay his dinner before he leaves on an all-night train trip. She came in and fed him, and I said, Sunitha, if you think I'm going to feed Vinay the whole trip, you're crazy. And there they are. And Kelsey, you'll notice the sign is up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Kelsey made them a little sign to put in their house. And I don't know what happened to that picture. That's that boy, believe it or not, his name is Happy. That's his name, Happy. And Stevie, look what they've done to the house. That's in Vinay's house, the church building. It has a Western toilet, which doesn't seem like much to us, but and there she is, happily doing whatever they do, and now she has a kitchen to do it in. So she was really happy. They have a refrigerator and stuff like that. I'll close with this. Vinay, I mean, we heard this, received a national award from an organization in New Delhi, which is the capital of India. And so I was interested, and I tried to pump some. He's a very humble guy. He doesn't like to talk about himself much. But when we got back to the house, I saw these papers and stuff and a medal and all that lying on the table, and I asked him about it. And I read the report. He is the only Christian that has ever received a national award, and it was for his service to the underprivileged in India, to the lower caste. There's an organization there in India, a national organization for the development, trying to pull these people up into a better way of living. And Vinay, in a little town, Naidupet of India, just a small place, has had such an impact on the whole country by what he's doing there, that he was recognized by the government for his work and the relief efforts that he's been a part of there. And everything that's going on, folks, we share that. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to help Vinay. I don't know whether we've talked about it in here, but at the last business meeting, we agreed to give him more money each month. And I encourage all of you, anybody that can, put Vinay and his group and your the work that he's doing in your giving plans. And if you have a contribution to make and you'd like for it to go to India, if you'll write on the bottom of that check for Indian work, then Johnny will be sure that it gets to where it's supposed to go. We have a separate account for them. And we're sending them $400 a month, which is nothing compared to the work that's being done there. So I hope it hadn't been too boring for you today. I've got about 200 more slides there if you want to stay around and watch. But it was an exciting trip in many ways. The situational part of it, living without real toilets and that kind of thing, and no hot water and not even any water at times, and a lot of cultural things. Out of the food was not very good for me. They loved it. And the kids really loved it because they could eat with their fingers. Everybody eats with their hands there. But beyond all of that, it was an inspiring trip for me. And I'm just happy to be able to come back here and tell you that the church is strong. It is growing. The people are committed to Christ. They know what God has done for them, maybe more than we do. They appreciate salvation. They appreciate what baptism has done for them. It has put them in a whole new world, in a whole new place. And we talked a lot about baptism while we were there. Talked about what Romans 6 means. When you become a Christian, it changes your life. It becomes a dedication to something else besides yourself and to pleasing yourself in this world. We had several that were baptized while we were there. There may be some here today that want to be baptized. All it is just all it takes is just, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I don't want to live a life of sin anymore. I want to live my life the way He wants me to live it. But you got to get your sins washed away. And that's what baptism does. It sets us off fresh in a new course. All those old sins are gone. And as long as we stay close to Christ, He's going to keep washing those sins away. What better thing could a person ask for than that? And no matter what happens to them in India, if they get thrown in jail, if they get killed, whatever happens to them, they know they're going to be taken care of. But they're going to have a whole lot better place than they've had in this world, that's for sure, when God gives them His blessing. So if anybody's here that needs to do that, I encourage you to come. We're going to stand here in a minute and sing this song. If you have something you'd like to